Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The sun's in the studio today, and I can't tell you how good it is to feel much better. I've been sick for the last 3 weeks with bronchitis and I think a touch of a pneumonia as well, but I'm doing much better today, and I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful wishes. I still have just a little tiny cough, but other than that, I feel totally normal. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area with over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries, and I just want to thank everyone so much for their wonderful support. During the first hour, I'll be having my good friend Simon Parks on, live from England, and if you have any questions for Simon, please email them to me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The second hour will be followed by a wonderful lady named Mary Ann Abramson, who's going to give us an update on her and her group's battle against 5G here in Washington State. She'll be followed by a wonderful lady named Marie Thorne Thompson from Santa Barbara, California. Last week on my show, she said that she's been in contact with the Pleiadians, so we made a call out to the Pleiadians for help. And believe it or not, 500 to 600 ships have been appearing this week alone in Santa Barbara. They are all over the place. I posted the YouTube video that she'd made of their ships flying around everywhere. We haven't seen that kind of activity up here in Seattle, but the way things are going, it won't be too long before we do. And they are here to help us, and she'll be bringing messages from them as well. Finally, from 3:20 to 4 p.m., I'll be bringing on QAnon in a live interview. If you have any questions for QAnon, please email them to me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I want to thank everyone so much for sponsoring, helping me sponsor this show. The purpose of it, of course, is to make this world a better place. And I especially want to thank Corey and Saul in Kirkland, Washington, for their wonderful support. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers on the show. Any advertising on the show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries with over 250,000 listeners. With that, I'd also like to thank my wonderful friends, Marion Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Jim in London, England, Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, and many, many others around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and do support the show. And of course, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website, provides wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, and as well as the Pleiadians, who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, Eric at KKNW, who's helping support, helps me make this program possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793 here in the United States. I'm continuing to raise funds for clean water for both the Hopi and Navajo Indians in Arizona, as well as a new library for the Hopi. Any donations are tax deductible. And if you'd like to donate, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Also, I want to continue to ask everyone to say prayers for the Amazon as well as California and Australia. You are having effect with your prayers. Last week, we made a call out to the Pleiadians for help with the fires in California, and I think they have really helped, and they've also come really out in force with hundreds and hundreds of their UFOs flying around Santa Barbara, California during this past week, and they're continued today. I'll be bringing on an eyewitness to this event in just about an hour. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be March 13th, 14th, and 15th, and I hope you can come. I've invited Simon Parks, of course, from England to come, as well as James Redfield, the author of the Celestine Prophecy, as well as Alex Collier, who's going to come from the Andromeda Galaxy, as well as Michiko Hayashi, the Moto Peace Project, and many other wonderful people. I hope you can come. To register, please visit our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Then finally, twice next year, from January 23rd to February 7th, and from May 17th to June 5th, 2020, I'll be taking a small group of people to Peru to visit one of the world's most spiritual places, Machu Picchu. We'll be visiting also Cusco and Ollantaytambo, Pisac and the Sacred Valley, Puno and Lake Titicaca, the Nazca Lines and Paracas, which has a museum of hybrid human extraterrestrial skulls, and meeting local Inca shaman who will be giving healing sessions for those who want it. The cost is just $4.97 each, with airfare and combinations extra. Psychic readings will also be available. I hope you can come. If you'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome my good friend Simon from Simon Parks from England. Simon appears on Out of This World Radio twice a month on the first and third Fridays of each month. And Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. Very happy to be with you. I'm fine, thank you.
Oh, good. Good. This is my first time in the studio in a number of weeks, and it's nice to be here. It's nice to be here. The sun's in the studio. It's shining in, and it feels so good.
Well, last time we did a talk, mm-hmm. You were coughing quite a lot, Ted. Do you remember?
I do. And that's decreased about 90% now. I do cough a little bit, but it's almost gone. I realized I actually had a touch of pneumonia. I had bronchitis, and then it went into pneumonia slightly. But I had a good doctor to help me out, lots of good medication, and most important thing they tell me is to get lots of rest, which is what I've been doing, and it's something you told me years ago to get. Unfortunately, I didn't follow your advice fully. Then I got sick in 17, and I got sick again now. So I'm going to incorporate some free time into my schedule and not work 24/7 like I have been doing. It's not good for me, and I don't want to expire early, frankly. So,
Ted, the problem is that when many of us, you know, come here to do a job of work, whatever it is, mm-hmm. we feel guilty if we're not actually working. But the problem is that if we run our bodies down, mm-hmm. then we do a disservice to the very people that we're supposed to be helping, because we're not effective. And it's this balance, isn't it, between, you know, taking a break, but also working as hard as you can. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you sound loads better. So I think we're going to have a great show.
Well, thank you so much, Simon. The energy here in the studio is wonderful. Eric, I couldn't ask for a better producer. He's always great. And I can feel the energy of all my listeners, too, coming in and feeling them their love and support as well. It's been a rough last 3 or 4 weeks, but I have no one to blame but myself. I don't have anything scheduled now for the rest of the year. I have some things scheduled next year, but I'm intentionally slowing down my schedule. So I have more free time and time to meditate and take better care of myself. Because if the body goes, you really don't have much left unless you're a spirit. And then mm-hmm. I'd have to have another psychic to come in and do my show. So I wouldn't want that to happen. But my goodness, Simon, we live in exciting times, don't we? I reviewed a post on your wonderful website, and then we have a bunch of questions that came in from listeners as well. And it's never a dull moment right now, is it? Is it, Simon? There's always something going on every week, every day, almost.
I think the point is that all of us, every one of us, all the listeners, everyone, we came here to be challenged. Mm-hmm. We came here to be offered opportunities. And then from those opportunities, we either learn or we don't learn. Now, if you live in an idyllic paradise, you're not going to learn very much because you're not going to be challenged. Right. So that's why everything is being thrown at everybody, because we're all getting these opportunities to decide how we want to react to it, what we want to do with it. And so this is part of what is meant to happen. And that's why it's so busy. That's why it's so challenging, because it's a great chance for us to learn and, you know, develop.
Well, the Earth itself, I think, Simon, is like a big school where everyone's volunteered to come down here, and we're all here to learn lessons. And if you learn the lesson, then you move on, hopefully ascend, and move on to the next level. And if you don't, you just kind of go back and repeat first grade or second grade or whatever. But it's a great learning opportunity. Even, I think, when bad things happen, perceived to be bad things happen at the time, there's always a silver lining in whatever happens. And it's always a lesson to be learned in whatever happens, I think.
I totally agree. Yeah. I think that's the point. I think in all through human history, there's been chances to learn. Mm-hmm. But I think now at this juncture of our development as mm-hmm. a race, we're literally getting it thrown at us. And right. that's why there are so many both good and not so good things happening.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And we asked for it. I think all of us asked to be reincarnated during this life. And there's a lot of spirits out there who wanted to be, who wanted to come into this life at this time to experience the ascension and to help with the ascension, but they couldn't come in. There wasn't enough room for everybody. So it's I think it's not a right, but a privilege and an honor to be alive at this time. Even though I know it's tough for many people, it's still a good thing to be here. Feels good to be here. So,
well, it is, and sometimes we forget just how lucky we are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes with the pressures of the world, the pressures of every day, we lose track mm-hmm. of the fact that this is a fantastic place. And every day we should be celebrating the fact that we are alive and we live. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's easy to take for granted. And sometimes, you know, you look at people on the sidewalk and they're looking down on the sidewalk, or they're looking at their phone and they look cross or miserable. Right. And I think sometimes people forget that they're alive.
I agree. You know, I've been sleeping 12, 13, 14 hours a day for the last 2.5, 3 weeks. And it's only recently that I've been able to really get out. So I went to a coffee shop this morning, sitting and having a cup of coffee this morning, this nice little shop, Simon. It felt so good just to be around people. And it was just nice to feel the energy. It was good energy all around me and little things. I think people sometimes fail to see the larger picture of things. And instead of looking at life as being like a half full of glass of water, they look at it as being half empty. It's always good to try to maintain a positive viewpoint, even when times are tough.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah,
I'm glad to hear that you're taking time out to drink coffee, Ted.
Thank you.
And not in a studio.
No, not in a studio to wire myself up. No, it was. No, I had a nice time this morning. I intentionally took a break on the way up to the studio today. So if you look around, every minute of every day always has lots of beauty around it. You just have to stop and smell the roses or smell the coffee, as the case may be. Anyway, you've had some amazing posts on your website. The first one, you talked about the deep state, and at a recent political rally, President Trump use the phrase deep state. I think you're right. I haven't heard him say that before.
It is interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think the last time we ever heard anything like that, it would have been Kennedy and then before him, possibly Eisenhower, mm-hmm. One or two others. Mm-hmm. The point is that it shows that this president is aware of a government within a government. Sure. A president, you would never have heard Obama say that, or Clinton, no. or George Bush. And when you take the trouble and the time to listen to some of his talks at his political rallies, mm-hmm. he even attacks his own political party, which is very interesting, because mm-hmm. he says, and I was listening, I think it was Louisiana, he was at yesterday or a couple of days ago, and he said that we took down the Bush dynasty, we took down the Clinton dynasty, we took down the Obama dynasty. Now, of course, George Bush was a Republican, right. which is the same political party as Trump. And not, yeah. you know, this is what's absolutely unique here. Yeah. You've got a Republican saying that another guy who was a president of the same party was actually an enemy of the people. Mm-hmm. And that's why we support Trump, because he's actually telling you the way it is. And he did use the word the deep state. And it's the right. first time I've ever heard him use that. And it shows me very clearly that this guy, President Trump, understands that there is a government within a government. And he knows he's on the public face of the government. But he's referring to his hidden government. And that's phenomenal. Absolutely incredible. Now, had you got, and I mean in America, had you got a half decent democratic media, mm-hmm. they'd have jumped all over that, as I have. Right. They would have made a huge thing about right. it. But they don't, because it's the deep state that controls 90-odd percent of the media.
That's why alternative media, like my program here and your Connecting Consciousness programs, Simon, I think are so critically important for humanity. That's why my listener base has gone up into the multiple hundreds of thousands, and why it has a worldwide audience. And you have a fantastic worldwide audience, too. But people are hungry for the knowledge. They're tired of being lied to. They're tired of being manipulated. And they just want the truth. Is that so difficult, I wonder, for mass media here in the United States to really talk about?
Well, I think the thing is that maybe many of the people who are employed on these radio stations or TV stations, mm-hmm. deep in their heart, I think they want to be truthful. But, sure. you know, there's only a handful of men on the planet that own 90-odd percent of the media. So yeah. if the guy that's paying you tells you to shut up, right. then you shut up. Sure. And that's what's happening. And this is the problem that sure. I think many people are very decent. Mm-hmm. But they are terrified. I mean, look, these guys on the radio and on the TV and on the newspapers, right. they report supposed suicides. They report murders. Right. And they do their journalism, and they know who's behind it. Mm-hmm. And it might be that some of the people behind it are also quite heavily involved in the media. So, you know, these journalists, they're just being careful. And unfortunately, they're not brave enough to actually come into the light and say, I'm going to tell the truth. And this is what we need. We need these people to actually be brave enough and to walk away from the evil and to embrace the good.
I have to share this with you, Simon. You know, a million years ago when I was in as a teenager in high school growing up, I remember the media in the U.S., and it was controlled somewhat, but not like it is today. And there was a lot more independent journalists who were courageous, and they weren't afraid to go out and ferret out the truth. Now that tradition seems to have gone away. It's not the same as it used to be. This is, I'm talking maybe 40 years ago or so.
I agree. I think where you saw the media being controlled was things like Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
There was a direct threat to the system, shall we say. And then you saw the media closing ranks. But right. in terms of freer journalism, mm-hmm. I think there were more opportunities for men and women to get to the truth than there are now. For instance, sure. You know, if you take a company making soap powder that cleans clothes, well, 40 years ago, there might have been seven or eight companies doing it. Right. But now there's probably just the one. So when you boil down, or you distill down to just a handful of people, mm-hmm. their control is nearly absolute. And so I really think that in order to get a change, either these people at the top have got to change themselves, or the people at the bottom have just got to throw off the shackles and say, frankly, we've had enough of it. So one of the two is going to happen.
Yeah, I agree totally, Simon. But I think what's going to happen is that people are going to gravitate toward truth. Because as Susan Miller said in my show, a wonderful astrologist from New York City back in April of 2014, she said this was a time of truth, that things that are true will become self-evident as being true, and those that are false will become evident as being false and fall by the wayside. And that trend is still continuing now, and it's going to continue for hundreds of years. So, and the cabal, or the negative forces, they can't stop it. They can't change it either. It's inevitable. It's an evolution that's happening here on the planet. And with that will be responsible journalism.
It's interesting when we look at the third the third dimension, this reality.
Oh, yeah.
And we look at how it's changed. And I was just chatting mm-hmm. to excuse me, a few people not so long ago, and said over the last 30, 40 years, the pace of change has been phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And although in one way perhaps it might not be so good, in other ways it's been better. And so I think that over the next 3, 4, 5 years, the pace of human consciousness, the rising and the changing, is going to be so fast that even I or you, looking at it today, perhaps couldn't predict the changes that are going to come in the next few years for good. And I think it's very exciting. So I still have my happy hat on.
Mm-hmm.
I've still got my happy hat on because although things are difficult, and obviously we've had that shooting,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, people like you and I, Ted, have always said that the outcome is good, but we've got a rocky road getting there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. One thing I want to share with you, I'm in telepathic contact with my friends in the Hollow Earth, and I asked them, it wasn't really a theoretical question, but I said, they said that some parts of the planet will be shifting into 5D earlier than others. One of those will be Mount Shasta. That'll be July of next year. And that's really moved up by several years from what they predicted even the last couple of years. And I said to them, well, let's say somebody's driving from San Francisco or Los Angeles, and they're going up to Mount Shasta, and the mountain itself has shifted into the 5D. What will it be like driving a car from 3D into 5D? And they said that you'll have distortions of time and space. You'll feel a lot lighter when you get there. You'll be able to communicate telepathically. All the colors will be far more vibrant. Like red roses will be far redder than other colors in the 3D. But it'll be a very different and much lighter kind of density. I know you had a post on it which was very intriguing about. The transfer from third dimensional Earth into the five D. I'm planning a trip, actually, next July 1st to the 8th, and you're welcome to come along, Simon, to Mount Shasta. And at that point, if everything holds true, then the people of Telos should be walking around us at Mount Shasta when we're there, and we won't have to go down to see them. They will come up and see us because we'll be in the same dimension.
Yes, I put a post on saying that a number of people had asked me about, you know, similar questions, and I was going to have a go at it when, you know, we do our podcast.
Sure.
Probably tomorrow or Sunday.
Okay.
The thing is that I agree. Places where there are portals or places where there is sacred through flow of energy will transfer first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is interesting, and you haven't touched on this, but mm-hmm. maybe I could,
sure.
is that people who have visited or entered a portal, doesn't matter if they are no longer in that locality, they will transfer early as well.
Oh.
So let's say somebody who goes to visit Mount Shasta and then goes back to New York City,
right.
they are more likely to transfer early because they have connected with a portal.
Oh, how interesting, because I've had people on my trip this year from New York City.
Okay.
I've had them from, this brings up a very interesting question. I've had them from Washington, D.C., actually. And they work in some government agencies, so it'll be interesting.
Well, they know what I know, and then they're sick of the politics, and they want to go early. I'm being quite serious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's going to be very, very interesting. What's going to happen? Oh my goodness, this brings up all kinds of interesting questions. Well, for those of you interested in going, I'll be going to Mount Shasta twice next year, early July and the end of August. It should be a really incredible out of this world time. If you're interested, just send me an email. Actually, the July trip is already starting to fill up, you know, like 10 months ahead of time. But that's fascinating. Of course, there'll be laggards in the planet, probably places like North Korea, not to single North Korea out, but a place with a lot of negative energy, and also cities and areas which people aren't very enlightened. But eventually, President Kennedy has told me that the entire planet will shift as well into this new fifth dimension, irregardless of the slowness. Eventually, everybody will come up to speed.
Well, the planet is the planet. Whilst it's okay, I think, for, you know, some parts to go ahead first,
mm-hmm.
No part should be left behind because it is one entity, it's one organism, it's one point. The only point you've not touched on,
mm-hmm.
Literally, and I'll have a go here,
okay.
is that those people who are beyond saving, those people who are incredibly evil, I can just say that there's no way they're going into the fifth.
Right, right, right. And those have a special planet already reserved for them, from what I've been told by my friends in the Hollow Earth, Simon, of a lower dimensional, third dimensional planet like Earth, Earth-like planet, a sister planet to Earth, and it's in the same orbital path as this planet, but on the other side of the solar system. And they'll be going there to work out their own karma for many thousands of years. That's what I've been told. So it should be interesting. Should be interesting.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you think places like Glastonbury and Stonehenge will also be shifting among the first places into the higher dimensions over in the UK, assignment?
It's places with portals. And I think that as we approach these transference times, mm-hmm. those people that are in the know will flock to these portals, mm-hmm. and they will stand and hold hands. Mm-hmm. And literally, that's what I foresee. The question is how people are going to be alerted to the change. And I think there will be a subtle color change around the portal area. There'll be a bit like a Northern Lights, you know, an aurora borealis, some sort of mm-hmm. changing in the color of the air around this location. And I think that will act as a visual stimulus for people to go. So I think those that are in the know, if they live within traveling distance of a portal and it becomes active, then I think people make a beeline. Now, depending on what we've got in terms of government, either government will attempt to put soldiers or police around to stop people going to it, or they'll just say, well, let them do it. And that I haven't seen the future of that yet, but certainly there will be locations all over the planet that are what we say in Great Britain, early doors. I don't think you have that saying in your country, but no. It means first off. So, you know, the doors open nice and early. Sure. And I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you, Simon. I know that from my experience at Mount Shasta, I've been going there since 2015, that every year there seems to be more and more miracle healings. It gets easier and easier to interact and talk to not only the Sasquatch, which they like to be called Chatrus. Sasquatch means wild man. They don't like that term. I don't blame them. But it's easier and easier to talk to Chatrus. Also, easier and easier to talk to Adama and the people of the Hollow Earth. They just come right through. And I expect next year in July that if we do shift, and I think we will be shifting into the fifth dimension, that they will simply be walking around us there at the campsite.
What's interesting, it's not that their power is becoming stronger. Mm-hmm. It's the reality that we are in. As our reality begins to move towards it, mm-hmm. the resistance that they have to push through becomes less and less, right. So they can spend more time in this reality.
I want to thank my friend, good friend Rick in Seattle for mentioning this to me. He called me up and we were talking about lots of different things. And he said, Ted, think about it. 2020, what does that mean for vision? And I said, well, you can see clearly. And he said, that's what's going to happen next year, is that as we shift into the higher dimensions, people are going to see things even clearer than they do now. And I thought, oh, what an amazing insight. And I thank you, Rick, for pointing that out. I wanted to share it on the show today.
Well, I think you get a lot of listeners, Ted, and a lot of people want to write in, because there aren't very many shows that are consistent. Mm-hmm. And I think people will, if they appreciate the truth and they appreciate an honest answer, then people will, you know, they will get involved. And yeah. That's why I think your radio show has grown and grown, mm-hmm. because it's clearly, it's got a vision and it sticks to it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Simon. It took me many years to get to this point, to realize my sole purpose, to realize that I had another lifetime in Atlantis, where I was trying to turn things around and stop a deep state cabal back then, 12,500 years ago, from destroying the planet. Me and I and others failed, but we're back again. Everything, history does repeat itself, except this time we're going to win. Things are changing, and the dark forces are on the run, and as President Kennedy has told me many times, it's the destiny of this planet to become a beautiful, peaceful, and harmonious place. That's going to become a true paradise. It's going to be, we'll be facing challenges, I agree with you, in getting there, but we're well on our way, and things have speeded up in a good way, not a bad way, but a good way. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit, we've got a bunch of questions too, but I wanted to just touch base quickly on these school shootings. I don't believe they're random. I think many of them are engineered to do what they do, tragically to hurt people. And I think there's a political agenda between all of them. Many of the shooters are either mind controlled or they're on mind altering depressants like Prozac. And the long term effects of those drugs are very harmful. What do you see from your side, Simon, on these school shootings?
There has been for a while, and it's still growing. And you should see this with the attempt to impeach the president.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real drive to literally take away the Second Amendment.
Mm.
And the only way that this particular, let's just call it deep state, because mm-hmm. that's what the president calls it.
Right.
The only way the deep state think and feel that they can do this is not democratically trying to argue the case, but right. by trying to shock people and
right.
say, look, if nobody had any guns, this wouldn't happen.
Right.
And I make the point, you know, first of all, I'm going to say that people really did die in this incident. Mm-hmm. There are a number of people who say that all of its actors and nobody dies. That frankly isn't true.
Right.
There are real casualties. People really do die.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say there aren't actors, but there is usually some very tragic occurrence.
Sure.
But in this case, it's a young child, because he's not 18. It's a young child on his 16th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That's the information I've got. You may have more up-to-date information, but I understand it was his 16th birthday, who goes in and stands still. Now, this is typical mind control. Stands in one place and fires
okay.
Anything that moves, and then coolly, calmly puts the gun to his head and shoots
right.
himself.
Right.
Now, that isn't even the actions of a very distressed person.
Yeah.
That's the actions of somebody who has been completely switched off from
right.
emotion.
Right.
Now, back in the 70s, we call this, you know, hypnosis.
Right.
But, and I wrote on my website that because we understand the military and we understand secret societies and we understand the very large multi-corporations who use mind control to maintain their control over individuals. This is a classic case of that. And I did say on the website that a number of these shooters are victims of the people above them. Now, I don't want
right.
the audience to say that I don't want them to be misunderstood here.
Mm-hmm.
The person who does the shooting is guilty of the shooting,
mm-hmm.
but the person who's been mind controlled probably didn't ask for that.
Mm-hmm.
They were probably somehow ensnared or trapped and then had a mind control program put in. So frankly, they don't know what they're doing. So the people we want are the people at the very top who are the ones pulling the strings.
Right.
And so, you know, everything's a tragedy. All of it is a tragedy. And it's purely and simply because a small group of complete lunatics, complete crazy, crazy people have this ununderstandable agenda to kill people in the thought that somehow it gives them control over the population. So these are the very people who will not be going to the fifth dimension, Ted.
Sure. Do you think they're even human? Or what do you think about that?
I think most of them are. I think most of them have lived an incredibly rarefied life. In other words, they've been tucked away in some mansion somewhere or some island, and then they're brought into the mainland, into the continental US.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, a very isolated upbringing. These are the elite.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so detached
mm-hmm.
from ordinary people that they don't get it. I mean, it's not a pleasant thing to do, but in history, sometimes we have to learn harsh realities. And if you were to study the time of Nazi Germany mm-hmm. and these people who ran these awful prison camps, these people had had the mind control done to them so that they could see all of this horror, but it never affected them. Mm-hmm. Now, if we understand they had that in the 1940s, right. we shouldn't be surprised that they have it today.
Sure, sure. Because many of those Nazi scientists, I'm sorry to say, came to the United States under Operation Paperclip and infiltrated our military-industrial complex. So many of the techniques that they learned in these concentration camps came to the U.S. in a country like, which just is shocking. But if you research the history of Operation Paperclip, you'll be shocked to realize that many of these Nazis did come to the United States, and they integrated themselves long ago into our military-industrial complex as well as universities.
Well, we can add to that and make it a bit clearer and say they were invited, mm-hmm. they were given dual nationality, or they renounced their German nationality and accepted American. They were given passports.
Right.
They were paid federal employees. And you looking back on it, mm-hmm. maybe it's hard today to understand, but mm-hmm. here's the reason why. Rightly or wrongly, the American government did it, and they did it because, excuse me, when they recognized the level of technology the Germans had, they were prepared to turn a blind eye to whatever might have gone because they wanted that technology. Your people, the American people, for years and years were kept out of the European or the international system. It was a way of isolating. Mm-hmm. And what happened was the Second World War crept up on America, mm-hmm. and American politicians realized that never again could they afford to be on the sidelines. America was going to be the number one country and never again be caught out by a war in another place. And that's where this all comes from. Mm-hmm. And so if you stumble upon a cache of the most wonderful, from their perspective, wonderful technology, most of it weapon grade.
Right.
What do? You don't give it away to your enemy, you keep it. And so Operation Paperclip was the political, I beg your pardon, it was the physical reality of a political decision to make America rule the world. And that's what that all came from. Just to finish off, when my mother was doing the work she was doing,
right,
and typing out all the documents in relation to UFOs that had crashed all over the earth but had been recovered by specialist American teams, mm-hmm. These were German scientists who had been tasked with back engineering, and these were a group of scientists who were either in Berlin, the British or American part of Berlin, occasionally the German scientists who were in America. So, it wasn't just a lot of bumbling old men in white coats. This was a absolutely well-funded, the only group that wasn't well-funded was Von Braun, believe it or not, the what became the Saturn V rocket. Their projects were not funded because that was all part of a deception program to end up with the 1969 moon rocket. I mean, I remember talking to a secret guy some time ago who said that, right back then, their teams were even arguing about the furniture, couldn't get the money for the furniture, couldn't get the money for having a proper heating system or a proper carpet. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go to the other groups that were on the UFO, alien technology, the money was being thrown at them, and it was not even coming through Congress. It was being, as it is now, it's been diverted. So it was a fascinating time, mm-hmm. But it was all brought about by the realization that German technology and alien connection was far ahead of anything the Americans had guessed.
Right, right. This brings into another subject. This is a little tangent. I hope you don't mind me going off on a little bit of a tangent. With the secret space program, which I'm told is well-funded because it goes outside of the normal channels and people really don't, Congress doesn't have any, the American public and the people of the world really don't have any ability to track it at all. And the reason I brought it up, Simon, is because when I was flying back from India last month, on my connecting flight from New Delhi to Seoul, sitting next to me was an Indian engineer who worked for an aerospace firm in India. And I asked him, frankly, he was going to a big conference in Korea for the military industrial complex. And I said, what kind of work do you do? I just casually says, oh, I do a lot of work in space. And I said, well, do you know, you must know about the secret space program. And he says, oh, yeah, it's well known among us engineers. And we talk about it all the time because that's a lot of our work. So there's a lot of people out there, I'm sure, that have a lot of information about the secret space program, which was, of course, started with Nazi help after World War II.
Well, that is why President Trump is trying to get the public, to move the public into a position where perhaps in the future it might be easier to give the truth. And, you know, you now have the United States Space Force, which is, now constitutionally, it's another arm of the United States military. So he's trying to push the agenda so that it becomes acceptable to talk about the Space Force. Now, that, of course, is different from the secret space program, from the public's perception. But I think that President Trump is trying to bridge the gap between what the public understand as a space force and what we understand as a secret space program. If we accept that in 1943-44, the Germans had the ability to fly spacecraft but did not have the ability to weaponize them, right, then we should not be surprised if there was already some connections with the moon, possibly Mars. But certainly they would have had the ability to travel that far. And then with the losing of the war, their best bet was Antarctica. So, you know, America literally fell into a crock of gold in terms of technology, which put them at the time about 50 years ahead of the Soviet Union and anywhere else. Right. And again, I make the point that when the Roswell spacecraft crashed in 47, the elite in the American military already knew what this was. They were already waiting for it. Sure. This was no great shock for them. Mm-hmm. The shock for them was keeping the public out of it. That was the how do we control this? How do we lock this down? Sure. That was the biggest thing. And anybody who's researched the Roswell program realizes that they are already, this is the Americans, already have specialist teams ready to go to collect these. There's no desperate running around picking up the phone. Can we get this man from here? Can we get this person from here? They've got these teams ready with the equipment. And, you know, it's Major Corso who was told to, and I quote, take your German scientists with you.
Sure.
So, you know, that means that before 1947, the American military had been collecting damaged and downed craft.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to mention this to you, too, Simon. Of course, I've read the books recently by Dr. Michael Sulla on the secret space program and as well as on Antarctica. And one of his criticisms of the program is not only the secrecy, but the use of slave labor that the Nazis used during World War II in Antarctica, and they still use today because it's become incorporated into the secret space program. By his estimates, and Corey Good, there are approximately between 10 to 40,000 people being used as slaves in Antarctica. And he said this is absolutely not right, and he's looking forward to the day when there's complete disclosure and help for these poor people too.
You asked me about the space program, about human, non-human. The group in Antarctica are not human.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's a non-human group there, sure, and that is the standoff that's occurred for many, many years between successive American governments and this group. Because if this group was just a pure human group, then there would have been some sort of arrangement, some sort of battle.
Sure.
That would have been won by the American government, but they're not human. And that's why there's slavery down there. And you're right, it's because it's the same ethos of Germans. And look at the secret space program uniforms. There are many Nazi symbols that are on the uniforms and on the markings in the buildings. So yes, it didn't die. I mean, when you know, I remember in 1979, before my mother died, she told me that Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to be the next president of the United States, and that was in 1979. Wow. Now, never made it to that, but he made the second most strongest position, which was governor of California. Right. So an Austrian was already identified in 1979 to be the president. In other words, Germans and Austrians were already being maneuvered from I would say, the late 40s, into positions both in the military and political, ready for this sort of cultural takeover.
Interesting. Boy, this brings up lots of different issues. Simon, do you mind if I go to a couple of questions?
They keep
coming in. Thomas in Vancouver, Canada. Thank you so much for listening today, Thomas. He wanted me to just to run this by you. Topic of changing, shifting from third dimension to fifth dimension. He likens it to a healing session where one person, where a person shifts into a higher dimension, maybe a higher light body at the end of a Reiki or energy healing session, and he says maybe this will help people understand how it'll be next year. It's an event I think many of us have waited tens of thousands of years for, and I've been told, Simon, that there are many extraterrestrial groups watching planet Earth right now, because this is the greatest show in the universe right now is what's happening now on planet Earth.
I think that to put a nice 3D touch to it, I want you to imagine lots of extraterrestrials, as we call them, all in their spaceships, ringing the Earth, all with a popcorn out, sitting there watching the greatest show on the galaxy.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this is, the greatest show. And it's not about if it's in doubt. It's not in doubt, but it's a once in a, not just a lifetime, but in anyone's lifetime, it's an event that nobody wants to miss. And how lucky are we? We're not the audience, for heaven's sake. We're down here. We're here and part of it. And that's why it's really important that every man and woman plays their part for good, to just help nudge it along a little bit, and not just sit in the sofa and make comments and say, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Let's just get off the sofa and let's just do some good.
Absolutely. Boy, I couldn't agree with you more, Simon, on that. This is from Bridget. She's written a question about angels. Simon, how prevalent are angels among us, and do they take on human form, and can one call upon them for help?
Right. I've got a slightly different take on it. I actually think there are good angels and bad angels, which actually sort of backs up what the Bible says. But there certainly are entities who operate at the 12th dimension, which means that these are the good guys. They cannot be corrupted. And generally speaking, they don't wish to associate on Earth, but in times of a special, special need, a special time, they will. They'll just do a one-off thing and go. They won't stay here and, you know, work day in, day out. They'll come here and do one pinpoint thing and go. Can you call on them? Yes, you can, but you have to be, very clear what you're calling on them for, and you have to believe in them. If you only half believe, they won't come. So you've got to totally believe, and then, yes, number of people who've been saved at the point of death or whatever it might be, because at that split second, somebody came to their aid. But these guys don't stay around to be thanked. They're so evolved, they don't need a thank you. They don't need that adulation. They will just do it and go. So the answer is yes, absolutely, but there are also as in everything on a balance, there are negative angels whose job is to hinder and make life difficult.
Sure, right, right. You know, that's how I started my radio show, where I was approached by a homeless man in a library here in Seattle, and he came up to me, he addressed me by name, I didn't know him, and he said two things. He said, Ted, you need to start writing books and have your own radio show. And I looked around to thank him, and poof, gone. Another 2 months later, another man in another library came up to me, said the same thing, then disappeared. And then I thought, huh, the angels are trying to tell me something. So, and I listened. But if that happens to you, my friends, do pay attention, because they often have important messages for you. I have a question from Mrs. I hope I pronounce this right, Anaz from Germany. Big fan of the show and big fan of you, Simon. She had a dream where she was lying on a bed next to a window, and she looks outside and she sees a small circular UFO object in the sky, and then it comes forward. It stops right outside of her window, and then it releases a drone telling her to get to go outside. And it's a long email, so I'm trying to paraphrase it.
Sure.
And then it goes right into her brain. It felt very painful. And then it releases something in her brain. And then she flies outside, flies out the window, and then the event ends. And she said, what does this all mean? So that was her email. It's longer, but I paraphrased it for you.
We're either looking at a screen memory. In other words, she's been given something that is not just easier to understand, but is not emotionally challenging. I know she might say that was emotionally challenging, but to see the pilot of a spacecraft standing in your bedroom is probably more emotionally challenging for most people than a drone. I think that I've always said this to people, don't for 1 minute think that a spacecraft that has traveled, goodness knows, how many zillions and trillions and quadrillions of miles to come and here to see you and do a little funny dance in the sky and go away again.
Right.
You know, that's not the case. That's what you're remembering.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, there's another action which has been wiped from your mind, where either something comes into your bedroom or your sitting room or wherever you might be and has a dialogue with you, or you are taken from your location to the spacecraft and then returned. So what she's saying there is a classic abduction, but the method of the abduction is brand new to me. This drone business, I have no concept of that in the mind. And I'm aware of many drones these spacecraft use, but not that. So I would dearly like this lady. I'm going to open the books up again in about 2 weeks to see more people want to have a chat with me. And if she in a position to, she could just, you know, book. And I would love to hear that story in detail, because that is not just a dream. That's real. That's really happened to her.
Yeah.
And that's very exciting. And if we can work and find more information for her, that'd be great.
Okay. Okay. Great. Great. Finally, we've got about 2 minutes left. I have a quick question from Dina. Does your extensive experience have anything to do with a past life connected to King Solomon? Directed to you, Simon. So,
right. I was invited by 2 minutes, you say.
Sorry, my friend. Yeah, it's getting close.
I was invited by the Freemasons on three occasions to speak in their one of their temples, in fact, the different lodges. On each occasion, I chose to talk about King Solomon because the temple, it's something they understand. What I can say is that on one occasion, we went out for a meal afterwards, and the guy and the Freemasons who was videoing it, and it was for public, the public could come in, it was fine. He took me aside and he said to me, just off the cuff, he said, you know, King Solomon wasn't a good man, you know.
Oh, how funny.
I know he wasn't. So the only way I can answer that is that there are certain people in very elite positions who seem to think that I at one time inhabited that person's body.
Interesting, interesting, Simon. Now we've got 45 seconds or 50 seconds for you to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
It's fine. It goes so quickly, Ted, because, you know, you and I get on very well, mm-hmm. therefore the conversation flows. I've always had a highest regard for the American audience. I know this goes out to many, many countries, but mm-hmm. the reason that I took you up on this offer, what seems like a long time ago now, mm-hmm. was because it was a chance for me to speak directly to the United States of America, a country that I have a great connection to, mm-hmm. In that sense. And so all I can say to you is that, you know, the happenings around the world are happening more in America than anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just literally about people keeping calm, like a guy on a surfboard who's riding the waves. Just stay on that surfboard, gentlemen. Sure. Don't fall off it and just stay there, and then it'll work out.
Simon, thank you so much, my friend, for coming on today. I really appreciate you, and have an early Merry Christmas to you and your wonderful family, my friend.